is Father David Celery from St. John's Church in Salisbury, Connecticut, with this week's focus, Transfigurations. Dear friends, well, this is more like it. Brilliant lights and radiant garments, a voice from the clouds, Moses and Elijah in attendance. This is what the coming of the Messiah was meant to be. No wonder Peter's ready to set up shop right on top of the mountain. He wants to get some tents up here and start the kingdom right now. Well, poor practical Peter. What else is he to do in the face of the divine? His reaction, well, it's so very human. You see, Jesus has come to redeem the world and build an eternal heavenly kingdom. And Peter can only think about the trappings of an earthly kingdom. You see, Jesus is operating on a completely different elevated plane. And Peter, well, he's bound by the limits of his expectations, his experiences, and his senses. Once again, Peter is our everyman. He stands in for all of us in our trivial human frailty before the face of God. How very like us he is. How would we behave before the transfigured glory of Jesus? This isn't a hypothetical question. You see, it's a certainty that awaits us all. In our final earthly hour, all of our projections, all of our misperceptions, well, they'll be swept away. We'll stand before the glorious reality of the risen Christ, and by the grace of God, we'll know the answer. All will be made plain. And since that meeting is a certainty, it makes sense to take what little time we have to prepare for it. You see, better to meet an intimate friend than a neglected stranger. While Peter is a firsthand witness to the wonders of Jesus, he's still confused. Where is this going? How will it end? He has an idea of what the Messiah should be, but obviously God has a very different idea. You and I, well, we have the advantage of scripture tradition and historical perspective, but how often do we make the same mistakes as Peter? How often do we expect God to live up to our expectations rather than seeking his will? From childhood, we've been taught the full story. Over and over, we have learned of the mission and the message of Jesus. But what have we done with the ultimate good news? Have we filed it away for a possible deathbed referral? Or do we live by it? Does it inform our choices? Does it guide our everyday decisions? Is the redemptive life of Jesus a real, immediate imperative that governs our lives? Or is it a fabled abstraction that we dust off and take out to lend a little traditional texture to essentially secular holiday celebrations? Transfiguration, that's the theme and the challenge of this Sunday, the last one after the Epiphany and the first before Lent, a time for change, an opening of grace, an opportunity for our own transfiguration. For the first time, we're given a window into the undeniable divinity of Jesus, emerging from the humanity of a humble carpenter turned preacher, transfigured into the ultimate worker of wonders. Emmanuel, God with us. We get a glimpse of the kingdom of God, and you and I are invited to live it right here, right now, with and in our dazzling, transfigured Savior. In the words of the Father, listen to him. Follow him to glory. You see, God loves you no less than he loves Moses and Elijah. He calls to you in this gospel no less urgently than he called to Peter, James, and John. Don't wait for the blinding lights or shining garments. Look for your transfiguration in the quiet and chaos of your everyday life. Make loving, praising, and thanking God the purpose of your day. And you'll be transfigured too. This has been Father David Celery from St. John's Church in Salisbury, Connecticut. To learn more, visit me at davidcelery.org or follow me on Facebook, iTunes, or Twitter. God love you.